Okay, cool. So Attack Lab is done. I feel like everybody that I'm seeing in class right now turned it in and finished. So thank you. Do you guys have any questions about that? I know the hand-in procedure wasn't super clear. I think that's my fault because I think I fully didn't understand what was going to happen with Auto Lab and the score showing up. But if you passed your phases, basically your score was automatically updated on the server. So it's one of those things where your Auto Lab score is kind of irrelevant because that's really where we're just going to see your comments and stuff. So your score is already recorded as long as you pass that stuff. Yeah, the Auto Lab thing is just for us. So we'll like change the grade in Auto Lab whenever we grade your comments. Any other questions? That's it. That was our last lab, guys. So if you're done, you're done. Yeah. It was a marathon, but it's over. So really that's it. As far as that kind of assignment, we are finished. We've got about, does anybody know when the last day of classes are? Oh, I can't hear you guys. Hold on. What was that?
No.
No? Okay, cool. Let me check really fast. It looks like it's the fourth. So that is in less than 2 weeks. That's crazy, right? We're getting through it. Yeah, so we should be finished up. I thought we were gonna get done a little bit earlier, but we should get finished up with everything this week. We'll talk about final stuff next week. And that's that. No more assignments. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Did you like Attack Lab? Did you hate it? I feel there's somebody in the other class said they thought it was less fun than Bomb Labs. I'm interested to hear what you guys think.
It was less fun than Bomb Lab,
Do
but
you think that it's because Bomb Lab has the threat of like actual penalty? Like, what makes Bomb Lab more fun? It's just like more of a game.
well, I mean, Bomb Lab was a lot easier. I basically just guessed my way through the last two phases, and I still got 40 points. And this one, I actually had to work, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, definitely working is harder than guessing.
Don't know. It was less gamey. It was just more like, this is code, do the code, and it'll work.
Yeah, I think people struggle too with like the addresses and the size of the addresses and dealing with all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, but I think it's not too bad. I think it's kind of fun. And buffer overflows come up a lot. So you'll probably hear about those again. Let's see. Okay. So, course evaluations are available now. You can go ahead and do them. I don't know how long they're available for. I'm sure that they end before the end of the semester. Nobody tells me anything about being a teacher, so I don't know how this affects me at all. I know that there are classes where they give you like extra credit for doing this stuff, but for me, like it would just be nice feedback. It's totally anonymous. There's also a chance I'll never teach again. So if you're like, I don't care for doing that, but if you have something you want to tell me, like, and you want to do it in an anonymous way, like, please utilize that tool. It's good. And I think if like you have something that pertains to just the course or the way the course is laid out, that's really valuable because of course this course will continue to be taught. Every semester that we have a computer science program. So we do value your feedback for that, and we do take it into account, and hopefully that's like something that comes across. Like, we care what you guys think about this stuff, and we have like made adjustments to the course and to some of the assignments in the past, like based on your feedback or the way that you guys do things. So if you want your voice to be heard, do it there. Cool. Okay, cool. So yeah, this is, if you have never done one of these, this is what I had honestly like only ever done one if the instructor was like, if 80% of the class does this, we'll get you'll get extra credit. Or if like there was something I really wanted to communicate about the course. So like in grad school, I've done it a couple times because I really, really loved the course or because I really, really thought it was not great. But this is what it looks like. It's not really, there's also, I think, a place for comments. So it's not very time consuming. Okay, so this is Attack Lab stuff that is no longer very relevant to us. This means maybe I grabbed old slides, but I think we'll still be okay. Okay, so we have, this is the last little bit of chapter 3 that we're finishing up. Yeah, so we're on 3.8 and 3.9. Let's see. Oops. And the last little bit of C stuff that we're going to talk about has to do with some data structures that you are probably familiar with from Java or from data or from data structures, but you have maybe never thought about very in depth or thought about in terms of like how things work in C or in memory. So we're going to start with arrays, and then we're also going to look at structs, which you've seen both of these things like in your programming. You came into contact with both of these things like in Shell Lab. So now we're just, and because we do things in this kind of weird order, now we're actually going to dive into a little bit more of like how those things work and how they work in memory. So there's nothing revolutionary on this page, really. Let me pull my notes up. We've kind of already talked about how in like on the machine level, like when it comes to machine code, there's like no real notion of what an array or a struct is. What that really means is that this is a section of memory that gets allocated together so that you know, several things of the same type or expected types can be placed together and accessed easily with like things like pointers and array indices. So if you've never thought about that before, that's what we're looking at. Just think of everything, and we kind of looked at arrays when we looked at, if you had some of the bomb lab phase like 2 or 3s, like definitely had some array stuff. So you may remember that, like kind of bouncing around from different parts of memory. So here we've got, and this notation should be really familiar to you because this is the same as it is in Java, unless I'm like grossly misremembering. But we have some like data type T, some array here named A. So we identify the array in some way with this array of type T. We've identified it as A. And then we will assign it some length of L, right? Real review-y stuff. So if we have an array of characters that we name string and it's of length 12, that means we have 12 1-byte characters, right? So that that structure would be 12 bytes long. If we've got an integer array of length 5, that means we're utilizing 20 bytes, right? Because each integer is 4 bytes, 4 times 5 is 20. Same thing with that double array, 3 times 8 is gonna be 24. And then we can also have arrays of pointers. So we've kind of like thrown pointers at you, I feel like, and we don't really give you a good explanation of like what pointers are until a little bit later in the semester. And I think that some of you like figure it out on your own, and some of you it's still kind of a mystery up until like this point, really. Or it's like a thing like that you have to like keep looking up or reminding yourself of, because it does get a little bit dicey, and we'll get into that soon, like in the next slide. So we can also have arrays of pointers, and those are going to be arrays of memory addresses, right? Because a pointer is just a place in memory. So we have, let's see. Think of anything else that I want to tell you from this page. I think the only other thing, let me see what the next slide is. Okay. That gets covered next. So I think that is it. Any questions about that so far? Cool. So here's a thing that's a little bit different in C than it is in other programming languages. That identifier that we use to talk about the array, to identify some array of some type and length, we can also use basically as like a pointer to the first element in that array, to element 0. So right here, we have like this little example array, that int array that we've called val, that's of length 5. So we've got 5 elements there. So we will also be able to use val as basically a pointer to the first argument, or to the first element in that array. Sorry, not argument. Does anyone have questions about that? We're gonna go further into detail with that, but that is like the base of like what's coming next. In addition to that, like that means that we can do things kind of like pointer math with that identifier, which I think again is like a unique C concept. So we can also, like, the other thing to notice here is that we have X, which is like some address, right? Like all these X's are some address in memory. So X is like the address of the base of that array. And then because this is an integer array, we can just do, to get to the next element, all we do is add 4. Because our, again, because our integer is 4 bytes long. So our first element is at address X. Our second element is at address X plus 4. Our third is X plus 8, so on and so forth. That, I think, is what you would have seen generally in like bomb lab stuff. So this should look a little bit familiar, and this should hopefully be like, you know, ringing some bells or clicking some stuff in your brain, like, oh yeah, this makes sense. If you hadn't already put these things together. okay, so we have, if we wanted to access if we wanted to access element 4 in this array, sorry, element index 4, there we go, in this array, we could use val and then in brackets 4, right? That's like similar to everything else we've ever done programming wise. The type of value that it's gonna return is gonna be an integer, and that value is gonna be 3, right? Because we've got element 0, 1, or index 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we've got that 3 right there. If we just wanted to use val as a reference, that's where things get a little bit weird. So that means that's going to be of like a type of type index, a pointer to some address. It's an integer pointer, and it's going to point to the address at the base of that array at element 0 at X. Any questions about that so far? Because this is kind of like, I think, new weird stuff now that we're getting into. And if you have questions, but you don't want to like jump on mic, please feel free, like always, to ask them in the chat too. Okay, so the other thing we can do, so we talked about how you can do kind of pointer math stuff here. So if we were going to do val plus one, if we wanted the next index in that array, it's still going to be a pointer, but now it's going to point to the address in memory that is x plus 4 bytes, because we're going to that next, you know, place, that next element, that next place in memory where that element is stored. So here's another thing that we that you have seen and asked about. With these ampersands, those are also going to be memory addresses. So here we have the ampersand, and we want that second index of val. Sorry, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time like talking about arrays today. But hopefully it's making sense. Please raise your hand or say something if like what I'm saying is wrong. If you notice I say something wrong or if it's not making sense. This is again going to be like an address. It's going to be a pointer, and it's going to be a pointer to x plus 8, because it's you know, it's element or index 0, 1. I'm sorry, I keep saying element, I mean index 0, 1, and 2. What do you think would happen if you try to access val 5? Does anybody have any idea?
Segmentation fault?
A segmentation fault could definitely happen. So if that, because I mean, that's like, that's on the right track for sure. And that's a valid answer, because we've got, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 is like out of bounds, right? It's out of the bounds of that array. Like if you tried to do that in Java, it would cause a big problem for you.
Would it just be null?
It will either be, I mean, it could be null. There's a chance it could be like nothing. There's a chance that it could be some unallocated or like version of some unallocated piece of memory that will cause a segmentation fault, or some piece of memory that like access to causes a segmentation fault. There's also a chance that there's just something there. We just have no idea to predict like what data is in that spot, right? And that's like not a huge deal when we are talking about doing something like reads. But imagine if you were doing a write and you wrote to something at val 5 and it allowed you to access that and allowed you to write that, like that could definitely cause big problems. So you know, that could corrupt some really important piece of memory, modify something that like you don't realize you're modifying or that you're not trying to modify. So stuff like that can happen too, unless you have things set up like in Java where things that are out of bounds in arrays, you just can't access them. Let's see. Okay, so, and that would actually like give you the data there. That one would not give you an address. Although if you were to use the ampersand, you would be able to get the address from that piece of memory. If you wanted to, so notice how we have that val plus one, which is gonna be like the base of that array plus one, so in the next index, which is at memory position x plus 4, if we wanted to dereference that, we talked about dereferencing a lot. If we wanted to take that value from up above, but dereference it, and rather than getting someplace in memory, we wanted to get the actual value that's stored there, we could put an asterisk, that little pointer symbol up in front there. The only other thing you could do val plus any number, and to figure out like where that would take you in memory, where that pointer would be, it would be x, like the base there, plus in this case 4, because integers are of size 4, it could, you know, if it was a character, it would just be 1. If it was a double, it would be 8. but X plus whatever data type you're using times whatever I is. Does anyone have any questions about this slide? There's a lot there. Nothing? You guys get all of that right away? Super simple. Okay. Actually, give me one sec because I think my headphones are dying. Okay, now can you guys hear me? Cool, okay. Okay, so let's look at this little example here. So right here we've defined this variable Z length as 5. So we're gonna use that to create all of these different arrays. And we've defined some, we've done use type def to create basically a predefined little structure here that is an integer array, which we are gonna call zipdig and of length 5. So this, you can use this now as kind of a shortcut to create a bunch of different integer arrays of length 5. And in this case, they're named CMU, MIT, UCB, and they have the different zip codes of those schools. Here we have the three arrays with the actual element values in them, and then they've been given these kind of like arbitrary and much smaller than they would be, obviously, but these memory, these places in memory like 16, 20, 24, 28. And in this case, all three of these arrays are immediately adjacent in memory. CMU precedes MIT, which precedes UCB. There would, of course, be no way to actually predict if that were to happen. Just because you declare them, you know, one after another doesn't mean that they will be allocated into like contiguous places in memory like this. But for the sake of this example, that's what that is. But they are like all, each of these arrays is guaranteed to be like made up of a 20 byte block of memory, right? Because it's, again, integers and 5. Let me see what I'm doing here. Okay, so we have pulled one of these arrays, this CMU array out. We have this little function here that where you pass in a pointer to the base of one of these arrays, right? So let's say we pass in a pointer to the base of CMU. So we could pass in CMU and it would point to that place in memory, 16. And we're going to pass in some integer digit that is going to return whichever element we want to get back from this array. So we will pass in to RDI will be Z, will be that pointer, right? Because we pass that in first. Our digit is going to be passed in second. That'll get stored in RSI. And then to get that, what we would do, we would move this into EAX, right? Because we were going to return whatever is in EAX. We would move RDI plus RSI times 4, right? So if the digit was the first digit, they really should have used like array index rather than digit, I think, to be clear, but Matt clarified that for you here. So if we wanted 0, it would just return RDI. If we wanted 1,
it would return RDI plus 4. 2 would be RDI plus 8, and so on and so forth. That all make sense? Okay. I think actually, let me see what's coming up. I think I'm going to stop here for today since nobody has any questions. I don't want to, I feel like this, I think this is as far as the other class got, and I don't want to move on too much. They're just much chattier than we are. So if
you have upset.
Questions or anything else, we can continue, but otherwise we will continue where we have left off on Friday. Oh, and I'm sorry. I know I told you that Shell Labs would be done today. I'm almost done with my like comments. I don't know if I need to check with Matt to see if he wants me to wait on releasing them or if I release them all at once, if it would release his students too. So I'm gonna have to wait. He's usually faster than me, so he might actually already be done too. But I will do my best to like release those scores to you today, or like I originally had planned.
I have a question. So I know we're not doing any more lab assignments for the rest of the semester, but are y'all still going to be doing like help hours and stuff?
Okay, well.
I have a question.
I think that if no one else has anything else to say, I'm going to go ahead and end class. And
wait.
Put it in the chat, dude. I don't think she can hear you.
See you later.
Okay. Wait, hello.
Kaylin!
Stop.
Okay, Ethan, question. Hold.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I can't hear you guys.
Oh, weird.
So if you've been talking this whole time. There we go. There it is. Okay, Ethan, what's your question?
Are y'all still going to be doing help hours? Like if I have a question about something that might be on the final.
We're going to have help hours the rest of the semester. So you may need help. You may need help on final stuff. We'll be there. And at some point we may be utilizing class time for extra help hours as well. Just like I said, I think we're almost done. I think we should be finished with this slide set and our like, I think our review slide set is like very short. So we should start final stuff next week. And that means that basically all that class time can be utilized, I think, as help hours as well. I don't want to make that as a promise, but that was our original plan. So yeah, we'll still be around.
Word up. Well, that was it. That was all I had to ask.
Cool. All right. Well, have a good day, guys. All right, bye.